Chapter 10. Once they were all back in her apartment, Nance wheeled out her whiteboard again. Ruth put on coffee, Helen set the table, and Ida pulled the napkin-wrapped sandwich from her purse. Lexi got busy taking some pastries out of Nance's fridge, and soon they were all seated around the table with refreshments in hand. Nance took her place at the whiteboard, opened her stinky red marker, and pointed toward the lists.
Right. So, here's what we know so far. The husband, Howard, seems to have an alibi. He was at the poker game, and there are plenty of witnesses to corroborate, including you, Ruth.
Ruth nodded, her mouth full of day-old Danish.
Though I suppose we should nail down the timing on that, and maybe ask some of the others,
Nance continued. Ruth nodded again.
So it couldn't have been him, unless he was in it with someone else and they did the dirty work,
Helen said. Sylvia made it sound as though they weren't getting along, and he was nervous about the gift. Maybe Ida's right, and it was for someone else, Lexi suggested. Ida snorted.
I usually am. If he was having an affair, that would give him motive to get rid of her.
I don't know, Helen said. Howard sure did seem upset earlier.
Maybe he didn't really want to kill her, but had some gambling debts he had to pay off.
Ida turned to Ruth.
How was he acting in the poker game? Desperate?
Ruth thought for a second.
I wouldn't say he was desperate. He was acting the same as the rest of us. Though, now that you mention it, he might have been a little nervous. He flubbed a few hands.
Nance added that information to the board and then moved to the side again so they could all see.
What else? Sylvia mentioned a new life insurance policy he bought from Dottie's grandson,
Ruth said. Ida finished her sandwich and reached for a brownie.
I was thinking if he owed some thugs, he might have taken out a big insurance policy on Mary and had to do her in to collect. I mean, if thugs are going to break your arms or make you sleep with the fishes, you might kill your spouse, even if you don't want to.
Lexi glanced at Nance. That seems a little far-fetched, don't you think? Nance shrugged.
We should consider every possibility.
She scribbled on the whiteboard and then looked back at them over her shoulder.
We should have a talk with Dottie because her grandson sold Howard that policy. See what she knows.
Ida snorted.
If it was a huge amount, then I say we need to look into Howard further.
Agreed.
Nance narrowed her gaze at the whiteboard.
Then there is Chandler Bennington. Why was he so sneaky at the party? And why did he demand to see the book from Mary? He said it was to check the signature, but Mary said he'd signed it decades ago. What was he checking for? Did he think it was a fake?
Why would someone forge his signature?
Ida asked.
Darn book wasn't worth very much, near as I could tell. There's one way to find out.
Helen pulled her tablet computer from her purse, brushed off pie crumbs, and set it on the table. She typed on the screen, then hit the return key.
Oh my, Helen said.
What?
Nance looked over her shoulder.
Is that a joke?
What is it?
Ruth grabbed the iPad and slid it to face her and Lexi. Lexi did a double take. The screen showed an eBay auction for the catcher in the pie with a high bid of $10,000.
$10,000? Really?
Ruth's eyes were glued to the screen.
But how could someone list the book from our contest so quickly?
Lexi asked.
Wouldn't they be afraid of getting caught?
I don't think this was the book from our contest. Helen slid the iPad back in front of her and squinted at the screen. It couldn't be. This auction was held a few weeks ago.
Huh. Ida frowned. I suppose someone else could have seen this on the internet and put two and two together. What if they killed Mary because they thought our book was worth just as much?
But Mary didn't think it was worth anything, Ruth pointed out. She told me that just last week. And no one else would have had access to it because she kept it locked in the safe in her office.
Nance made more notes on the whiteboard.
Yes, it doesn't seem too many people disagreed with her about the book being worthless, at least from what they've told us. I mean, who would think that ratty old book she bought for a quarter would bring in a small fortune? Everyone we've talked to thought it was a crappy prize. But in today's world, 10 grand is hardly worth killing for, Ida said.
Maybe the killer was only trying to steal the book, Lexi suggested.
What if Mary caught the killer snooping around in her office and things turned ugly?
But she was killed in the pie room, not her office. She would have had to follow the killer there, or he or she followed her. And again, who would want to do that? Who would have any idea of the book's true value?
Nance turned to stare at the board again.
So far, the only two I see are Chandler Bennington and maybe Lorelei Summers. She's an antique dealer and would know the price of collectibles.
And Lorelei did want him to sign more, Helen added. At least, that's what I heard Vera and Anne gossiping about in the bathroom.
She might want more signed books if she knew they were worth 10 grand. It also makes sense that Chandler would know the value of his own books, right?
Nance asked. Ida nodded.
And he argued with Mary over getting a peek at it. Maybe the value was in the signature, and he wanted to verify it was indeed his before he stole it or demanded she give it back.
So the murder was about the book the whole time then, Ida said, sitting forward. Not getting rid of poor Mary. She was just caught in the crossfire.
But what about the problems between Howard and Mary and the gift? Ruth asked.
Oh, Howard still could have been fooling around, Lexi said, remembering the wrapping paper she'd found in his trash. But that doesn't mean he killed his wife. Lots of men have affairs but never murder anyone.
Let's not forget that right now Howard has an alibi, Nance said.
Chandler does too. Lexi rubbed her eyes and stifled a yawn. This doesn't seem to be getting us anywhere.
But does he have an alibi?
Helen glanced at Lexi.
I saw him at the bar the same as you, Lexi, but he could have just as easily slipped down the hall after I turned to head to the bathroom and you were busy at the buffet table. In that short time, he could have killed Mary. And I can't help wondering why he continues to hide his hands. He did so at the party and at the hotel, too. If they did have blueberry stains all over them, then he sure wouldn't want anyone to see them.
But it's basically our word against his regarding his location.
Nan scowled at the whiteboard, now covered in suppositions.
He swears he was at the bar at the time Mary was killed. And we all know those security cameras in the community center are just for show. No tape in them.
He could have lied, Ida said. Can we talk to the bartender?
I think he was a private contractor, like me, Lexi said. But I'll see if I can track down his info and confirm Chandler's whereabouts. Or I can check with Jack to see if he's done the same already.
Yes, do that.
Nance had a cat-that-ate-the-canary smile on her face. And while you're at it, mention the book. I bet the police haven't stumbled onto that yet. Ida nodded. Yeah, but don't rub his nose in it. We don't want them to realize that we have to do their jobs for them all the time. They might stop cooperating with us. Yes, inform him gently, Helen said. So, what do we do next? Until we can place Chandler in the hallway. There's nothing more to be done there. I say our next move is to nail down the timing of it all. Nance glanced at the clock on her wall, which read 5:30. Lexi, tonight, you find out what the police have gleaned. See if they talked to the bartender, and if Chandler or anyone else really does have a solid alibi. Tomorrow, we'll go back to the community center and find out about this book. If it's not there, we may have just discovered the real motive for Mary's death.